Welcome to the world's first Straight Talk Solarcast. This is your go-to podcast for answers about solar. Brought to you by Solar Harmonics in Northern California, who invite their customers to own their energy by purchasing a solar panel system for their home, business, or farm. Each episode, we discuss questions facing people making the decision to go solar. The solutions to your questions are given to you straight by one of the leading experts in the solar industry, Jamie Duran, president of Solar Harmonics. Feel free to search our library for answers to questions that you're facing when considering solar. And now, here's Adam Duran, our host with the questions, and Jamie Duran, our solar expert with Straight Talk Solarcast.
Hello, Jamie.
Hello, Adam.
How's everything in the land of solar this week?
Land of solar is definitely evolving. Always crazy.
I bet.
Always exciting. Yeah, we were just getting ready to start this project right on the beach, or you know, close to the beach, and almost got permit approval, taking 6 months, and then just today we were told, oh hey. What kind of racking are you guys using? Oh yeah, that one's not approved by the roof manufacturer. So we have to pivot pretty quickly to go with a racking that is approved. So
I'm afraid to ask how much that's going to cost.
Unknown at this time. Still assembling, because that's it's a pretty major change. So everything's designed, everything's engineered, back and forth, you know, 8 rounds of approval from the city and all this stuff. So now we get to start again. Not fully from the beginning, but the racking is, almost no one talks about it, but it's pretty integral with this type of, so this is a big commercial project, not even that big, but it's a commercial project and it has a flat roof. And there is this plastic, it's like vinyl roof coating, and it's called a TPO. Don't ask me what it stands for, but it's this membrane roof, and it's very fragile, but it's very durable. So I know it's fragile if you walk on it, and fragile if you penetrate it. But in general, if you don't walk on it, don't penetrate it, it'll last for, 20 years at least. And lots of businesses, companies are using it. And as you can imagine, the roofing manufacturers, not huge fans of people putting holes in their solar, and the solar company walks away and then it rains. And then the customer says, oh my God, I have a roof leak. And so everyone's pointing at each other of whose fault it is. Yep. And meanwhile, the roof is leaking. And so now what has to happen is there's a type that it kind of uses a roof seal instead of full penetrations into the roof. And then this, like if you use this TPO patch, so just imagine like a circle, maybe about 6 inches, and that patch is sealed by the roofer over the roof attachment. That way we don't have any trouble as a solar company, because now the roof warranty stays intact. The penetrations were all sealed by the commercial roofer. And at the end of the project, commercial roofer walks the entire job. I see no issues. I'm going to approve it. And the warranty stays intact. So we like that a lot, because the worst calls to get, second worst calls to get. Hey, you're, we have a roof leak. And it can really happen on flat roofs, because if there's any kind of hole anywhere, water will find it and water will find a way in, and water will do a lot of damage. So that's why they're so picky about it. And that's fine. This one was just a comedy of, anyway, so we're working through it. We'll find out what's going to happen next. But we were just right there on almost like days away from getting approval on the permit. So close. But in any event, I wanted to talk about something else.
Yes, please.
So we've actually been talking a lot about Tesla products, and we're not, this is not becoming a Tesla podcast, but one thing that I just was informed about today that I thought is really, really interesting is I'm sure you're familiar with the Tesla Cybertruck.
Of course.
And we've talked in other podcasts about the vehicle to grid. So if the power goes out in several vehicles that are out there, You can use the vehicle battery as the backup for the home and not use a battery that's on the wall.
Yeah.
So that's pretty cool. So with the Tesla Cybertruck, this is now available. Only with the Cybertruck. So.
Wow, really?
It is. And it's called the Tesla PowerShare program. Huh. And it's expensive to install. But, you know, if you're buying the Cybertruck, probably that's not the biggest issue. And there, you know, there's a million things that, not a million, maybe 10 things you have to go through. But it's pretty interesting. And essentially, it's what we've talked about before. If you have a electric vehicle charger that you install on the wall, it is now bi-directional. So that's pretty awesome because that means you can get power to charge up the Cybertruck from your home, mm-hmm. and, you know, from the solar or from the grid. And then if there's a power outage, you can actually pull power from the Cybertruck to your home to power the home. And so we've talked about it, you know, with the Ford F-150 Lightning EV truck, mm-hmm. and the Hyundai Ioniq, all have that capability. But I've always said, you know, this is crazy. There's, you know, thousands and thousands, tens of thousands of Teslas out there, and Tesla considers themselves a technology company. How are they not way on top of this? But, you know, they sell the power walls, so they kind of want people to install those. But this, there's no reason why you couldn't have the Cybertruck, Tesla car, electric vehicle, and have several power walls as well. So it's very interesting. It's probably them just dipping their toe into, which is not an Elon Musk feature. Generally, he says, okay, it's available for everyone, and now let's beta test it on everyone in the universe. And lots of trouble, lots of problems. But now with Cybertruck, since it is a really limited amount of vehicles, and it has a huge battery, it is interesting to have them test it out this way. So very excited about the potential, because that could be, again, the ability to back up your home in the event of a power outage. These power walls are not inexpensive, but the Cybertruck is also not inexpensive. But, but they are coming down, way down, way down. So they're by this time next year, they'll be about half the cost, so about $80,000. So it's not... not ridiculous, but it is. It's very interesting. I'm excited about the innovation, and you know, if it does get tested out with the Cybertruck, there's nothing saying that the exact same thing couldn't happen with the Model 3, Model S, Model X, Model Y. So, and then, you know, any future Tesla stuff too. So
that would be nice. Very nice.
That would be very nice. So we're really excited about it. And it's, you know, you can actually control it from the app as well. Mm-hmm. So it's a good innovation, good progress. And right now only available on the on the Cybertruck.
How popular is it?
Like popular at all.
You know about this? I mean, I've never even heard of it for Tesla.
Right. And I think that's on purpose. I think that they're really just letting Cybertruck owners know about this, and that's about it, because they probably don't want everyone to panic, freak out, and say, I want it, and when, but I think it's, sorry about that, Tesla, but the cat's out of the bag now with everyone listening to the podcast, so, but it's on their website, so it's not, this is not like corporate espionage or anything. This is out there. You can just Google Tesla PowerShare, and I will, you know, put the link in the show notes. But it's very interesting. I do enjoy when there's some thought behind the process. And like I said, rolling it out to everyone would be trouble, because that would be not very fun to have to deal with all of these issues, because this is relatively new, and being able to power, power other appliances, power a home through an EV charger, I think that's just kind of the future. And so I'm excited about that, obviously.
What happened to the Ford F-150 Lightning? Didn't they have this, some kind of similar ability?
Yeah, it is. It's out there, and it's unfortunately, they ran into lots of issues. because my understanding is that you need a lot of equipment to get that to work. And so with the Tesla one, as I was mentioning, really the bi-directional charging is done through the EV charger. It's not done through a backup interface and disconnect switches and, I mean, all this additional equipment that you need to install. And so that has not been popular, and it's been a lot of trouble, and it's a very expensive. So probably the next iteration of it will probably copy Tesla, I would think, and just focus on the EV, the bi-directional charging for that, rather than trying to install it in its, an entire battery backup system, which is very expensive, takes up a lot of space, and this EV charger does not take up, it's just, you know, it looks like your normal EV charger, but I'm sure it's special for the Cybertruck, but very interesting. One other neat thing is that you can charge up another Tesla with, from the Cybertruck.
What the?
Yeah. Wow. Yeah, it has a 220 outlet on it and a normal 110 outlet, so you can plug an extension cord really into the Cybertruck and use it for, you know, your boombox, Adam, or your break dancing.
That's right.
And then when you're, when it's time to go, you can just plug your Tesla in, your Model 3, into the Cybertruck and charge it up. And then the Cybertruck has to figure out a way to get home. But you're good.
I can pop lock to my heart's content.
Awesome. That's right. Yeah. Thank you. All the way. Yeah. You can be the star of the concert parking lot.
All right.
Yeah. That was pretty cool. I'm very excited about both of these things. So. Yep.
I like that you're saying some nice things about Tesla.
Hey, I give credit where credit is due, and then I give blame where blame is due. And the installation side was pretty brutal. You know, not a lot of good things happening out of that side, but the equipment side, like I said in the beginning, this is it's good progress. Good progress on their side. So I guess that's all I'll say about
that's
that.
That's all. Okay. No, I'm happy to hear that Tesla's doing something you like.
Yeah. You know, but the layoffs they just had, I imagine there was a lot of really smart people that got laid off there. So it's, that's not good either. But
there's a lot of competition, man, in that space. It's just,
Anyway, that's a different podcast. So
sure.
Save that for your podcast. But that's all I have for today. Very exciting.
Next time, I'll be pop on my pop locking Tesla podcast.
Nice.
That's a new
very
one.
Good. Yeah. Yep, new one. Stay tuned.
Yeah. Thank you. All right, we're going to wrap it up there. If you have a question for Jamie for an upcoming episode, you know what to do. Go to our Facebook page, send us a message through there, Straight Talk Solarcast. If you'd like to visit a library of our past episodes, go to our website, solarharmonics.com, click on the podcast link at the top of the page, and there's the library right there. And if you have a friend considering going solar, this would be an excellent podcast to recommend to them. There, Jamie always says there's always something happening in the land of solar, and every week he proves it true. Wow. Good job. All right. Until next time, everyone. See you.
That's all for now. Thank you for listening to this episode of Straight Talk Solarcast with solar expert Jamie Duran. Join us each week for more answers to your solar questions. Speaking of questions, got some? Email us at solarcast@solarharmonics.com, and we'll be sure to give you an answer in an upcoming episode. This episode of Straight Talk Solarcast is brought to you by Solar Harmonics, the leading solar energy developer in Northern California, who invite you to own your energy. Visit them on the web at www.solarharmonics.com.